thought you did. Too, right? Maybe it is helping.
Just over a week after Simchas Torah, so I want to talk about Inyanim, which Nager to the end of the Torah, the beginning of the Torah. I hope nobody minds. Still, maybe the Sairus of the Yom Tov should remain with us a bit longer. Right, the Torah ends Zos HaBracha. The last thing it says about Moshe Rabbeinu is. Says Rashi, this refers to the fact that he broke the luchos. The way the Torah ends, the very last episode which the Torah refers to is the breaking of the luchos. Yeah? So the question is asked, the Be'er Yosef asked this question. Why should the Torah end with the breaking of the luchos? It's a very tragic episode in the history of Klal Yisrael. Because of the Egel, he broke the luchos. He broke the Torah. There was a Sefer Dibros, and the Psadik says in that Sefer Dibros, or you could see all the mitzvahs were encapsulated in the Sefer Dibros. So he broke the Torah, yeah? Klal Yisrael lost the chance of getting the Torah. They got another set of luchos, but the Ma'aseh, he broke the luchos. So breaking the luchos is a very sad, very tragic episode. So why does the Torah see fit to refer to that at the very last, the end of the Torah, on a very nice, unhappy note? Yeah. So a possible answer is, the Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos of his own accord. He wasn't told to do it. The Gemara says in Shabbos, there were three things Moshe Rabbeinu did of his own accord. Yeah, and the Bereishis agreed with him, but he wasn't told to do it. Yeah. One of them was, he separated from his wife. He had the svara, because the Bereishis is speaking to me the whole time, I need to be separated. He had asked me on Miriam Atainas, and the Bereishis agreed with him. The other one was, he separated from his wife. What? Yeah. No, that was after. Oh, his schema. So Tosafot asked the Kasha. So he says it wasn't a tziva. Yeah, Tosafot says the pshat is the atainers he did himself. Bereishis agreed. The Ma'aseh he did his own God. They said, if you wouldn't have done it, Bereishis would have. And Miriam said, you just the Bereishis saw you wanted to do it, so he agreed. It wasn't what you meant to do it. They said he was too high on Madrega. But he was worse before. Bereishis agreed. They said, you're making yourself a too high a level. That's what they said about him. The Bereishis agreed. Well, if you want to do it, the Bereishis lets you do it. But it's not really. Miriam and Aaron are tainers on him. He's going on too high a level. He's being too much of a tzaddik. The second thing was, he delayed Matan Torah by a day. He had a cheshbon, 3 days of achana, needs to be complete days with the night, and he delayed, and the Bereishis was masking, the shechina came down on the next day, yeah? So he separated from his wife. And the second was he pushed up. And the third one was he broke the luchos. And the Bereishis agreed with him. Asher shibalta yashika. He did good. The Bereishis agreed with him. So three things Moshe Rabbeinu did of his own accord, and wasn't told to do these three things. But Ribbono Shel Olam agreed with him. He did good. Now of these three, the most dramatic one was breaking the luchos. He separated from his wife. Personal matter, he separated his wife. Only concerns him. He pushed off Matan Torah by a day. Okay. He said, well, there'll be a Matan Torah. But breaking the luchos, he's breaking the Torah, that is a very, very audacious thing to do. To have the courage to do such a thing, to break the luchos. He's breaking the whole Torah. And he had a svara, he said, because you see by Kabbonis, if it's a mumma, and somebody's avoid the Zara can't eat a common Pesach. So the Tariyach mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael are not fit to have the Torah in this state because they serve the Egel. Now, If it would be a proper svara, it wouldn't be called midatoi. Gemara says he did it in midatoi. Moshe Rabbeinu did it of his own accord, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam agrees with him. But if he's got a kavachomer, so it's not midatoi. It's not mamash to kavachomer. You can ask a cash on it. Yeah, kabbalas might be different. Stop. His svara wasn't 100% muchach. Yeah, if you say as a svara, you could ask a cash on it. No, but Moshe Rabbeinu did it. So the could be the pshat is, it ends off with this inyan to show you the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Torah is given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. So rather than saying it is a tragic episode, but there is a very important lesson to be learned here, which is worthwhile to end the Torah. The lesson is the greatness, the high madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega on such a high level, he was able to do such an act, which is... You can't imagine how much he couldn't see the wrong thing to do. Look, wrong thing, you're breaking the Torah. You're not giving even the Torah. And that's because he fell. That's one of the rules. After he decided that, so we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had made the decision of his own accord, and he was able to make a decision which the Ribbono Shel Olam agreed with him. So we can see from here the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, even the things that he does of his own accord, the Ribbono Shel Olam is masking. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the true spokesman of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything he does is B'Shem Hashem, yeah? And since the whole Torah comes to us from Moshe Rabbeinu, so we need the chizuk. We need a chizuk in the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the possible before. Oisva moifsim chalosva moishlochem shloch Hashem as Mitzrayim b'chavod Chad. The possible before all the moifsim which he did in Mitzrayim, the second last possible of the Torah. Moshe lekom there was no greater novel than Moshe Rabbeinu, and he did all these great miracles in Mitzrayim. But all those miracles he was told to do by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, the Torah ends off with the greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu is the nois in that Torah. Yeah, and it's one of the 13 animamins. Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega of Nevuah is higher than all of the Nevi'im. Yeah, so the whole Torah is based on the Emunah Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah ends off with the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, upon him. Then it says all the great miracles that he did, but those miracles were told to do. And the greatest above everything else is, the last thing in the Torah is, he did something without being told to do it. He broke the Luchas. What?
Taking the Egyptians with him.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, he also, yeah, good point, yeah. Doesn't, yeah. That he wasn't that down the getting turned yet. That was mentioned, yeah. That the bunch of Italian, yeah. That the bunch of Italian, yes, yeah, yeah. So the air of that the bunch wasn't so masculine, yeah, good point. But here, we find he was masculine, the bunch agreed with him, yeah. So we see it again, so that's a progress down the Torah. And the other point about it is, The fact that he made a kal v'chaim, he had a svara. And as we know, a lot of dinim in the Gemara come from a kal v'chaim. Yeah, svaras, yeah? Torah shaval peh. Memeil, at the end of the Torah, wanted to have the koyach of a kal v'chaim, who was able to make to do an action up here, kal v'chaim. So it shows us the importance of Torah shaval peh. Because the chumash is only Torah shaval k'sav. The words of the chumash are without the Torah shaval peh. Without the tradition of the Chachamim, the Torah has no meaning, because you know what it means, yeah? It's like, you just say with Chumash, yeah? Tofas ben anach, you don't put tefillin on your forehead. All many, many examples where if you teach the Psukim, translate the Psukim, the literal translation, you'll get a completely wrong pshat. And the Torah is written in such a way, you can only understand it with the traditions of Chazal, the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the way Torah was given. Torah was given to Shavik Sav together. And there's a Gemara which says, "Lekoras Hakadosh Baruch Hu brisim yisoyish by the Ikka bond, the Ikka covenant between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal on Torah Shabbat Peh." Because the Chumash is the way in the Goyim. I also see the Chumash of the Torah Shabbat Peh. The way we interpret the Chumash. That is the Gemara says on this pasuk here about Ki Apia Dormeina Ksoiv Lecha, right? That's passing Gisisa. Yeah. Ksav lechazor meki alpi advarim weile karadim as well. Alpi advarim weile says Rashi the ikka, yeah. In the interesting Rashi it's a chazal. The ikka creases bris. The bond between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam comes from Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Peh is the Iker. Yeah, Torah Peh is not what's written in the Chumash. Our Torah Peh is also written because the Gemara is written down. But it's called Torah Peh. It's all the Masayos, all the Chazal, all the droshes of Chazal, how Chazal interpret the Pesukim. And Chazal learned out many, many dinim from a Kal V'Chomer. Yeah? To impress upon us the importance of Torah Shabbat Peh, they have in the Bishmori, Shleish Esim, Medrash, Shafir, and Drosh, yeah? All the various ways, Kavachayim, Exeshim, all the various ways of interpreting the Torah, yeah? And it's all Alpi Torah Shabbat Peh. So to impress upon us the significance of Torah Shabbat Peh, and one of the Midrash which we use is a Kavachayim, we learn dealing from a Kavachayim. So the Torah ends off with Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchos, and it was based on the Kal V'Chomer. If even Korban Pesach, it says Kol Ben Nechal Yochabai. Even Korban Pesach, and over the Avodah Zarah can't eat it. So Tariag Mitzvah can't give the Eden the mitzvahs concerning Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Kal V'Chomer, it was his own Kal V'Chomer, and it was right. Even though there's a pech on the Kal V'Chomer. He says, if we have a Kal V'Chomer, we've got a pech. We're not sure. Look, a pech doesn't mean it's in Gansen. Obgefreit. Could be right, we don't know. So we don't know, Moshe Rabbeinu knew, despite the cat, there's a cash on it, the Kal V'Chomer is correct. So it's impressed upon us the significance of Kal V'Chomer, and this is a teaching us the importance of Torah Shebal Peh. The Ikar Torah is not the Chumash that we have. The Ikar is the way we, Chazal learn out with the Droshes, with ends off, the most dramatic example of the important Rebbe is the Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos because of a Kal V'Chomer. The same Kal V'Chomer we have will learn dinim. All the Gemara is full of Kal V'Chomers. The Gemara is Machadish dinim, which are not written explicitly in the Chumash. We learn them out for Kal V'Chomer. Yeah. So we've got to have a full emunah shleima in the drosh of Chazal. We've got to have full faith in the koach of a Kal V'Chomer, because there are many dinim that went out from a Kal V'Chomer. So here, the end of the Torah, the last pasuk in the Torah, gives an example of the power of a Kal V'Chomer, the Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. Now, this links up very much with the beginning of the Torah. End the beginning of link. Why does it link up? Bereishis Bara Elokim, says Rashi. This pasuk cannot be understood literally. It does not mean in the beginning Hashem created everything. That is incorrect. What it means according to Rashi is Bereishis Hashem came because of the Torah. And now if you say Kipshuta, yeah? Rishi being a different pshat. I said a different pshat later. It means in the beginning of the creation, the world was empty. It doesn't mean in the beginning. Yeah? So Rashi starts off, interesting. So the very first word in the Torah is written in a way that you cannot understand it literally. What does that mean? This pasuk is saying, explain me a cause. I mean, Rashi says, the pasuk is shouting out to you, this is not to be translated literally. Bereishis Bara Elokim does not mean in the beginning Hashem created. But if you translate it, it does mean that. But as the Torah was written, dafke in a way, if you try to translate it literally, you get it all wrong. And what we're not catering for people who translate the Torah literally, because we have got together with the Torah Shebiksav, we have the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law which is transmitted from Moshe Rabbeinu, telling us how to learn the Torah, yeah? And the Torah writes things that if you, as we know, so there's Tzvilin Ben Anech, many examples, yeah? Machos HaShabbos, many examples. The Torah writes things that if you just translate it, it can be very misleading. And the Torah doesn't mind if it's misleading, because it's not written for people who just want to translate the Chumash. They have the Goyim can also translate the Chumash, yeah? The Torah is written, b'kavona dafke, in a way, that if you try to translate, you'll get it all wrong. That's not true. Because the Shemayim voice not in the beginning, because the Shemayim voice, the earth was there first, Rashi got cash. Rashi's cash is, Rashi proves it can't be, yeah? The Shemayim flag is in the beginning, Hashem, his cash is, because the Shemayim voice comes, Shemayim comes from fire and water. I mean, Hashem gave it, but the creator, what was there before? Here, I'll tell you what Rashi says, that's from Rashi, yeah? Here. Shemayim was first. It says, Ruach Lekin, there was water there before. So what are you telling me, in the beginning of the, or before he says, then the puzzle carries on, the Ruach and Rachel, there was water there, so it's not the beginning. Rashi proves it can't be, it's not true. Because the heaven itself is Yeah, the kids, the Rashi got cash, the Rashi got carb, keep shooting, yeah? The only thing Rashi can say was, in the beginning of the creation, when Hashem came, then the world was empty and there was water. But not the. Was this saying Rashi? Right. So yeah, similarly, have there, Nase Adam Betzalmenu. Let us create man. So Chas V'Sholem, Chas V'Sholem, you could say there's more than one creator. Possibly man writing it. Even though it's misleading. Because you have to have one interpretation of it. So it's interpretation. So the end, so this is a very good link between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah are both illustrating the paramount importance of the Torah Shebal Peh to show you have to have Chazal and you have to have, and if you just got Torah Shebal Peh, you haven't got the Torah. So that's the end of the Torah. We see the Koach of a Kal V'Chomer, which is one of the 13 Midas which Chazal used to explain the Torah, and that is Shloisha Torah Nidresh Mevzach Torah Shebal Peh, and that was the Kal V'Chomer. Moshe Rabbeinu used the Kal V'Chomer to break the Luchos, which is a very, very, very audacious thing to do. Very to break the Torah. More than that, the most than breaking Betula Zekiyuma. Betula Zekiyuma. Through destroying it, that was a key, because breaking the Luchos is Machazak Emun in Torah Shebal Peh. And straight away at the beginning, yeah, back to link the beginning to the end. Berate the first word again. We have to have Chazal. So Torah Shebal Peh has got no meaning without Torah Shebal Peh. Everything has to be with Chazal. Every pasuk in the Torah, you have to know what the Chazal say on this pasuk. Yeah, another very very striking example. In the mitzvah of Yibum, somebody's nifter without children, says the brother should marry his wife. Yeah, and the pasuk says there, Hoya b'choya shateileid yokum Hashem ochiv. So if you translate the pasuk, the b'choya who is born should be in the established name of his brother. Sounds like the mitzvah is marry your brother's almana and have a child and call the name. Completely wrong. Completely wrong. There's no mistake of children. Just one beer. No mistake of children. No mistake to call the name. Everything completely off. Completely off the mark. Someone said in Yiddish. Someone said Malamud should be tight. People say should we have said Yiddish? Someone said Yiddish. How should you touch in the Chumash? V'chaya. What's actually b'chaya? He should be the b'chaya. I should tell you pratline. Should be v'chaya b'chaya. Okay. The Ezolzan the b'chaya. I should tell you Ezilu Kenum Kinder. Yeah. He should be the b'chaya. V'chaya b'chaya. The one who does Yibum should be the Bechaya. Asher Teileid, she should be capable of having children. So you know she? Pratla Island is, yeah? Yochim Hashem Ochiv, that he gets the Yerusha of his brother. So they have a look at that phrase. If you just look behind the person, but you just look at the person, yeah, but easy, come on, try that, look, come on. The Bechaya was born, should be in his father's name. Completely wrong. There's not even a mitzvah to have children for Yibum, so one beer. The right is, even a woman's old one also does Yibum, as long as it's not nine, even a woman's 70 also does Yibum. There won't be children born. Yeah, but yeah, you're right, yeah?
How did
they have
chapter on Hokin
Shemok? Now that's what it means, he takes the Yerusha. There isn't a Kabbalah or in Yonim that's from the Shomer or in Yonim, a Kabbalistic in Yonim. If he has a beer with her, it's a ticket. But it doesn't mean Kipshutai. Yeah? Is it?
Something like that. 90 years old.
Yeah, even Shekain, yes. A woman like Dorsters Yibum, most of it's Yibum. A woman 90, if it's not an eye, has to a miss of Yibum. Ah, there won't be any children. So I'm proving it's wrong.
Yeah, but why not
I loan it? Not the B'chaya is born. B'chaya B'chaya. The oldest brother should do Yibum. If you learn the project, B'chaya is born should be in the brother's name. Completely wrong. B'chaya B'chaya doesn't mean the B'chaya, means he should be. B'chaya B'chaya, the one that does Yibum should be the B'chaya. B'chaya B'chaya. He should be the B'chaya. Stop. Asher Teleid. She should be capable of having children. Yakum Hashem Achiv, he should inherit his brother's Nachla. What do you say to that? Absolutely amazing. Completely off. Completely from Pshat. Yeah? And many more examples. That's it. So we have Torah Shebal Peh. Meila, that's the Cheshivas of Torah Shebal Peh. And the two things. And also, the Cheshivas of the end of the Torah, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Indian of the Masur tradition, everything came to Moshe Rabbeinu, is all 100% intact as it was given to Sinai. Many halachas, as we know, are halacha la Moshe Mishinai. The Moshe Mishinai, Moshe Rabbeinu Mishinai Meila. It's very important to Machazag Emunah in the words of Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the end of the Torah tells us that even things he did himself, he was Moshe's Masur Meila, is the things that Moshe Rabbeinu told us are all our Torah is based on the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, there's a Rambam in the Akdom of the Pirush Mishnayos, where he speaks about how the Torah is transmitted. So he says there's no machlokas halacha Moshe Mishnai. All clouds are green. A mashal, what is a lulav? Just had sukkahs now. Pre eitz hodah, what is that? A beautiful fruit. How do you know it's esfig? Says the Rambam. There's no, all throughout the generation, since Matan Torah, everyone in clouds are green. An esfig is an esfig. How do we know? Halacha Moshe, we know what it is, yeah? So we said, Rambam said, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, a sukkah, living as, what is a sukkah? A two walls, all the in house sukkah. How high should a sukkah be? How wide should a sukkah be? How many walls does a sukkah need? It doesn't say in the Torah. It's all Torah shall prepare for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam, so Messiah's everything is, and there's no machlokes, nobody's ever suggested a lulav anything other than a lulav. The question is, there's a Gemara, where the more discusses, I think it is, what is the most, just other things as well. Yeah, and maybe it's this, maybe it's the more, there's a Gemara in sukkah, where the Gemara seems to have, maybe it's a different peri, maybe it's a different plant. It's a lulav or esu, one of them, yeah, and the more's got tutsim. Yeah, sounds like, says the Rambam, in that Gemara is not really a serious suggestion. When they haven't got the Gemara now, when the Gemara in Sukkah says ve'ema hadifni ve'ema, yeah, there's a Gemara with a Gemara. With a Gemara, I'm going to bring a Sukkah. Because the Gemara's got various suggestions. It says, it wasn't really as if the Gemara is suggesting there'd be any difference to what we have here. How do you know it's a lulav? Maybe it's a ufsa, yeah? Aimatati here. Yeah, different things. I think I'll ask you one with a spiky one, it's one with a prickly pain, the aima kufra. A different type of tree. Because dachanim, it's not a nice, because it's a prickly one, so it won't be nice to hold. The other Gemara's. She says the Rambam, it wasn't really a serious suggestion, as if the Shavuot got it wrong. Because if Klal Yisrael have taken a palm branch for a lulav, then it's unanimously agreed that is the correct thing, and that is our unbroken tradition from Matan Torah. That is what we're supposed to do. All this Gemara means is, maybe there's a coming awry, a svara to show from the Pesukim, or from a svara, there shouldn't be anything else, yeah? And put the Rambam, yeah? It's all unbroken, all based on what you've seen there. As all the mitzvahs, yeah? Tefillin, what does tefillin look like? All the mitzvahs here. Have to be black, have to be square, all these things, no reference. What is tefillin? What does tefillin mean, yeah? What does it mean? I've seen various. Some English chumashim have phylacteries, and some of them have frontlets, and some of them have just tefillin. They don't bother translating it, yeah? There is no translation. He's not going to say these things. That's why Mishra is, you can't say Krishna in another language, he says. If you want to say Krishna in English, what you say, word to top, Mishra, you can't say Krishna, you know, you can't translate it. It's made like a tchile. You have to have Chazal translated, yeah? So the Rambam, all these things, even the Mos suggests other things for Abba meaning, the Mos not suggesting really that should be the Locha, it's just the Hagdol for Adira, right? So that's the Cheshivas of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh is paramount. Halacha Moshe Mishnai is kaveya. Everything we do, all the way we keep mitzvahs, our whole Yiddishkeit is based on Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, not on Navon the Chumash. And Halacha Moshe Mishnai, that is the Shvius Haluchas and Bereishis, the Pasuk asked by Chazal. Now, when we say what do Chazal say on Bereishis? Not in the beginning, Bereishis because of the Torah. The world is created because of the Torah. Bereishis, because of the Reishis, yeah? Oh, this leads to a very important point, that the world is created for Torah, so it's also a chizuk in our determination to keep the Torah, we should know we have to be matzliach, because the world was created for it. A person can sometimes want to improve his standard of Yiddishkeit, we want to be more meticulous in his observance, he might think it's a bit difficult for me, yeah? Person might decide to start learning halacha, and he might find things he didn't know, whether it's, in kashrus, Shabbos, whatever, he starts learning halacha, and he sees new halachas, new laws of the Torah, he hasn't kept till now, and he finds it a bit difficult. He might say, well, a bit too difficult for me to keep it, maybe it's beyond my koichus, yeah? So as a chizuk, you have to know it can't be beyond your koiches because the world was created for Torah. So if that's the purpose of the world, there has to be, you've got the capability of keeping it. The world, as we know, even today's world, yeah? Because nowadays the world's different than it used to be. There might be more challenges to Yiddishkeit. The world is more technologically advanced than it was in the times of Matan Torah. And the whole, our way of life is different. So there might be people attempting to say, in this modern age, it's difficult to keep the Torah. And there have been people, Rachmanis, that have tried to make compromises in the Torah because of modern circumstances. So the way to refute these people is, this Rashi, the world was created for the Torah. So it has to be, the world means the world as it was then and ongoing as it is now. So a world was created, it must be within our capability. Other things may not be within our capability, yeah? Person wants to keep the Torah, he has to have confidence he's able to do it, and he shouldn't get deterred if it's difficult, because the world was created for Torah, so I'm doing my tachlis. Other things you have to get put off. Person wants to do other things, he wants to achieve something in life. Person's got some sort of ambition, not connected with Torah. He's got an ambition. What ambition has he got? He wants to set up a business and end up learning £1 million a year. So he's read some books somewhere. Oh, anyone can do it. All you need is determination. But if it doesn't work out, there's nothing wrong if he says, giving it up. I'll throw the towel. Not for me. Not for Shev. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Maybe it's not meant for you. How do you know? In the Goyish, the busy time, yeah, whatever you want, you can do. Yeah, there's a hashkof in the Goyish. Yeah, you determination, what you want. You want to do something, it didn't work out. So you might say, well, determination, where there's a will, there's a way. If you determine, you'll do it. That is not true, because maybe you won't. Maybe the Rebbeinu doesn't want you to. That's the part. If a person's got an ambition in life, which is not connected with the Torah, ambition to become a millionaire, he wants to, whatever, sail a yacht around the world single-handed. He's read someone, he also wants to, he's been told, yeah, you can do it. It's a great feat of endurance. And he may go and do training, and he may read all books about it, and he may be told, anyone can do it, but it may not work out. If it doesn't work out, he's entitled to say, I give up, not meant for me. Nothing wrong with saying that. Maybe it's not meant for you. We've got no proof, we have no proof whatsoever that every ambition a person's got for some sort of success in life, that's what he's meant to do. And it's perfectly in order to say, wasn't Bashar, the boys don't want me to do this. It's not being negated to his Shmiras HaMitzvahs, yeah? Going around the yacht, maybe it'll be a little bit, might cause a bit of a weakness in your Shmiras HaMitzvahs going around the yacht, yeah? You might not get a minyan for shachos every day. Anyway, I'll call upon him. Yeah, that's it. Ma she'ein kein. If a person's determination is to keep the Torah, I'm determined, I want to keep the Torah. I'm a frum yid, I want to be even better. I want to learn halacha and keep everything exactly. I want to live my life as a yid shalpi Torah. Medakti b'halacha. Then he's not allowed to be deterred. And he's allowed to say, yes, I'm capable of doing it. And the person wants me to do it, I'm not going to be put off. And it's wrong to be put off, why? Because this is what the world was created for. And not in the world, every individual person. So every individual person, and the whole world was created for each individual person to keep the Torah. And whatever difficulties there are, is just a challenge to be overcome. The more difficulties there are, the more rewards you'll get, but you have to. You can be determined, and you're not allowed to be deterred. It's wrong to be put off, however difficult it is. And one of the difficulties can be, because if a person starts learning, you might see that, not allowed to do this, not allowed to do a lot of things. So you think it's like Yiddishkeit, a lot of things you can't do. Restrictions. They should be looked at as privileges. But MS restrictions are really, it's the Yetzer Hara. There's plenty of oil out, I'll give you a muscle. It's all really just an illusion. Bring a raya. Someone who's never kept kashrus before, unfortunately, never been brought up to keep kosher. And he's not telling you, no, you can't have pork, bacon, you can't have shellfish, whatever, all these things. And then you go into meaty and milky. I think it's beyond me. Till he's experienced it, he's starting all the things you're not allowed to do. You might think it's absolutely beyond him. Yeah, you might think I can't live like that. And the ma'aser. You didn't do it. Nobody's there. Anybody short of food? Anybody short? Anybody lacking in nutrition because don't eat machos or suras? They're bad for you anyway. The foods that are forbidden are not good. They may not be good. They're definitely not good for you spiritually. They harm you in the shama.
Have you seen the obesity rates in our community?
All right. Pardon? That's okay, so we have to work on that, but not yeah, they're not good for anyway. Any food that a bunch that don't eat is not worth eating. It's harmful for you. It may not be harmful for your guf. Yeah, there is a chazal which a person should not say, I don't want to eat bosa chaza. I'd like to eat it, but you won't let me eat it. It could be very tasty, but it's harmful. Yeah. So as our joke, someone said there's been a. Some tins of pork withdrawn from the supermarket. Some health warnings. That's how I had to withdraw them all. We've also had a health warning from the time. No, we had a health warning. It's harmful to you in the shama. So it's been withdrawn. It's a health warning. It's dangerous. Oh, so anything which also, but the problem is sometimes if you're an Indian which you're not into, you're not used to, you might think it's too difficult. Chofetz Chaim says, okay, kashrus Baruch Shem is not so difficult for us, but not to talk lashon hara. The machbid, everything you say should be al pi halacha. Chofetz Chaim says, somebody says, I can't, it's too hard for me. If I start keeping lashon hara, I won't be able to talk. I can't talk about anything. Which is completely wrong, because obviously there's plenty to talk about. The problem is, that very often, the thing you're not allowed to do, that is the ick. And we're allowed to do is, you don't realize. There's a pasuk when Chava was told, you mustn't eat from a certain tree. So the Nachash said to her, Hamin ho eight here. Did Hashem say here? Af ki omelekim lo sochlim b'kales hagan. Did Hashem say don't eat any of the trees? So Rashi means he's trying to introduce the subject of the trees. What the Nachash is saying is all the other trees are nothing. The ick is the one you're not allowed to. That's the ick one. So if you can't eat that one, all the others are garnished. Compared to this one, all the tree, all the fruit you're allowed to have is all nothing. The ick is that one's the most kishim. The one you're not allowed to have is the best one, most tasty one, most desirable one. So he says that's the derech of the Yetzer Hara. In all generations, the things that are osa, Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah, and the Torah forbids certain things for our own good. But the Yetzer Hara can make a person think whatever's forbidden. The ick is we're not allowed to do this kefir, yeah? So when it comes to kosher food, I'm going sub. Other than you might say, well, the main thing is, well, I can't talk. I can't have a nice conversation, right? Because so many things I want to talk about, I'm not allowed to go to lashon hara. But plenty of things you can talk about. But the yetzer hara makes you think. It's part of the yetzer hara to make you think whatever's forbidden is what I want to do, and what I'm allowed to do is nothing. Yeah. And that's so Chassam Taka says on this that people think. But if you start learning, well, why do you write Sefer Chofetz Chaim on the laws of Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara, people are very lax with Lashon Hara. It's one of the reasons being, people think, oh, it's so hard not to talk Lashon Hara, can't talk about people, can never make any derogatory remark about someone, it's too hard, no, I have nothing to talk about. I won't have a decent conversation. So Chofetz Chaim, that is the Yetzer Hara, and he says, it's like the Nachash. Like the Nachash says, he obviously means the Chaim Kush, but Chofetz Chaim says, it's like the Nachash at the Chava, you can't eat any trees. All the trees besides one, but the one you can't have, that's the ick, and everything else is garnished. So what you're allowed to do, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination trying to make you to not to keep the mitzvahs, tells you whatever you're allowed to do, that's no good. The ick is what you're not allowed to do. That's what you should be aiming for. Because that's the best thing. Oh, see, so that's the and the limit is not true. Now, one other point now to show the point how the Bria, the world is created to fit in with the Torah. The Pasuk says, when Shabbat, first time of Shabbos, the Bunch was Mekadosh Shabbos. Says Rashi, the holiness of Shabbos was, the mon didn't fall on Shabbos. So the first time Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah, what's special about Shabbos? There was no mon on Shabbos. Cassius, why is that so? That's just a one-off. That's just a one-off thing. For 40 years, no mon. Why is that the first thing about Shabbos? Can the Peshat say, if you tell someone who's never kept Shabbos before, what is Shabbos? Describe Shabbos. Can't do anything. Can't can't cook and can't plant, you can't do anything. So you might think, I can't manage. Can't do any type of creative activity. Yeah, we know Baruch Hashem, we keep Shabbos and we're very happy. But someone who's not used to it might say, how can you survive? No, especially when they live in agricultural society. You can't water your plants. You can't milk your cows. You can't do anything with your produce. You can't cook. And you can't sew a button on. And you can't mend a light bulb. You can't, there's everything you need to do and you can't do. So somebody who's not kept Shabbos before, you might think, I can't survive. All type of creative activity comes to an end. Then you add on to that, there's the mitzvah Rabbanon of Shabbos. Even without activity, any type of business, even talking about business, arranging your business affairs, reading your bank statements, all forbidden on Shabbos. You get the impression Shabbos is a gefährlich day, nothing to do, it's mamish gefährlich. Could be this person's got a point. The reason being, could be takah b'derech teva not. The chiddush is, the Baruch Shem made in the Bria, you don't need to work on Shabbos. When the world was created, Shabbos was factored into the Bria. It's only 6 days a week, 7 days a week. So the mon, the yidin and the midbar, collected the mon every. That was their panosa. So on the Shabbos, the mon didn't fall. That was a simon. They saw, mamash, there's nothing to do on Shabbos. There's no need to do anything because the bones don't want you to make any hishtadlus upon us. And if you do, it's just negative. Obviously, the times people are busy, yeah? You've got to go to work on Shabbos. So if they went on Shabbos, they'll machal Shabbos, maybe earn some money. But you should know it's against what the bones don't want. It's ill gotten gains. The bones don't want you to give what they want. And if you keep, and the bones have made the beer. So when it actually says the Monday before Shabbos, the simmon, the world was created and Shabbos was made the chatchila. There's nothing to do on Shabbos. Any shtad, any you need to do. All those important jobs you need to do. And all the important phone calls. And all the important business decisions are all not meant to be on Shabbos. And if they are on Shabbos, it's nego the Baruch Hashem wants. And how will you survive? The Baruch Hashem made in the Bria, they should be. No, we don't always see it. But they saw it in the Maisa. There was no mon on Shabbos. In the later generation, it's more hidden. So it can appear. As it has been the case sometimes, they have to go to work on Shabbos because I'll lose my job otherwise. But that's just an Issoy, just covering over to give an Issoy. But the Emes in the Bria, when Shabbos was created, it was given nothing to do, and it's neged Ratzon Hashem. You can't gain anything. You won't gain anything working on Shabbos. But before that, the Yivorech Lekimah, she says, Rashi, the double mon fell on Friday. Our doors there, and the double mon fell on the Simon, the bones are made in the Bria, the people who keep Shabbos, the Baruch Hashem will look after. And the double mon on Friday, the simmon, the Baruch Hashem will look after them. And if you keep it, you won't lose out. So as Moses says, that's why it's mentioned at the beginning of the Bria. Of course, it only happened once in the Midbar. But what happened in the Midbar? That the mon did not fall on Shabbos. And a double portion of the mon fell on Friday. That is a symbol to show you. That is the Matthias of Shabbos. There's nothing to do. You're wasting your time being ishtar. How will you manage? The Baruch will give you on Friday more. Yeah. So it says here in one of the Zemiras, comes from the Emes, Keshma Shabbos. Yeah? The Zemir is made by the Eben Ezra. Loshni says here, Boy em to some no fish and afshi. On Shabbos I'll always have rest. Hine, Ludur Rishon, Nosan Kadoshi Mofes. Beseis Lecha Mishta Bashishi. Throughout the generations, where it's a tefillah of tochen, the Baruch Hashem will look after. The Baruch Hashem will look after the Shomrei Shabbos. Yeah, so it fits in Bereishis b'shvil Torah. The world was created for Torah. So any mitzvah we're told to do, we cannot lose out, and it's always within our capability. And there can be cases where there has been a shoynus, and people have. Unfortunately, fallen by the wayside in their Yiddishkeit because they weren't able to have a more far-sighted, but look very short-term. In the short term, it appeared to them they have to chas v'sholem, not keep Shabbos, kashas. There have been mitzvahs that have been difficult for people to keep, and they weren't strong enough in their emuna. The world was created for Torah. And the tachlis is the Torah, and we need to be determined to keep the Torah under all circumstances. Yeah? So in the Midbar saw it in the Maisa, the Mammoth saw clearly there's nothing to do on Shabbos. In later days, not so clear. But So we need to machazer with the Emunah, Bereishis, the world was created for the Torah. So everything that happened in the world, nothing should be able to make a person deviate from the Torah. And whatever the circumstances are, Davzan, we're strong and resolute in our Kiyama mitzvahs, because by doing that, we're doing the tackles of other things. Give it up. Not worth spending time on. You can try, but it doesn't work. You can just say, right. Mashenken Torah, one's never allowed to despair. However difficult it may be, you've got to remain determined, because keeping the Torah, we're keeping the tachas of the world. Oh, yeah.